Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show tonight. Everyone in the chat, there's a lot of you, so I'm not going to read all your names, but thanks you all for joining in tonight. Tonight, we've got a few different things. You know, some of the stuff we always talk about, how the FBI sucks, although this time it's a little bit more nuanced than, you know, some of the past things that they've done. I've got a couple stories about Antifa, which I thought, that they had sort of disappeared for a little while anyway, but they're back around, and some economy stuff and all that. Before we get into the show, what's going on, Brian? How you doing? What's new with you?
Same old shit, man. Different day.
Same old. Yeah.
Sounds like most of the world, right?
Yeah. I'm finally starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel with all this bug out location stuff and getting all this stuff done. I can actually get back into, making videos, writing articles, the normal stuff that that I used to do. So pretty cool. But before we, hopefully this chat runs right tonight, before we get into all this other stuff, I did want to, and this is a perfect sort of segue into that with that bot we had last week. I want to talk about the mental aspect of preparedness, the psychology of preparedness, the psychology of survival. And I suppose those two things are different, right? You've got the mindset you need to have for preparedness. And then I suppose that mindset in an SHTF situation, that would be your survival mindset, right? So those are sort of two different things. Does that make sense?
I think it's all your survival mindset. Why do you take a bunch of time and effort to sit around and make videos, read shit, stock up on beans and figure out how many flashlights you can stuff into your pocket that you carry every day with your pocket knives and all that? It's all done out of survival. Why do you do that? You do that out of fear. So.
Yeah.
If you didn't have a fear or worry or concern about anything, you wouldn't do any of that. You'd walk around with, flip-flops and shorts and your head in the clouds being some Karen out here in California.
Yeah, there's quite a few of those too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's the entire city full of them.
Yeah. Well, I think there's I get what you're saying right there, and I totally agree. But I think there's two different aspects of it. When you're thinking about preparing and that mental aspect of it, you got to sort of, and the same applies to a survival and SHTF situation, but an SHTF situation is where you implement all the stuff you did beforehand, right? As you prepare, you're learning about how to handle different situations. You're even going to the range, right? You're training yourself. That's the mental aspect of preparedness, right? And survival, because you're training yourself to make sure that when a situation like that does arise, it's almost going to be hopefully second nature to you, right? Well, so there's a lot of pre-planning that goes into it.
Well, that's what preparedness is, right? Preparedness is everything that you do up until something happens. Then everything after something happens is survival.
Yeah.
I think that's just by definition of what happens.
Yeah, it's true. And there's, when you're, with preparedness and with survival, there's lots of things as far as situational awareness, operational security, things like that, that go into it that I think is more important than, and I'm not trying to say that I've got to struggle. I'm trying to not say that supplies aren't important, because they are, but there's a lot of things that are going to be more important than just the supplies that you have, because if you know how to navigate a situation, then maybe you don't need that, or the odds that you may not need that gun or that weapon or something like that are increased if you can, handle a situation, navigate a situation where it doesn't come down to combat, get through that.
Well, when you have violence involved, there should be an escalation of force, right? That's what you hear cops. Did they use their less than lethal? Well, part of less than lethal is like trying to figure out how to de-escalate it using verbal judo and stuff like that, de-escalating the situation. So everybody's like, oh, of course. Well, you should have your firearms, because at the end of the day, once you get to the point where nothing else has worked and there's a threat to your life, that's when you get into the firearm thing. That's where we look at, when we look at the Doomsday Prepper show, and you have like that episode where we're, no, we don't need guns. Well, okay, you don't think you need guns, but everything else fails and somebody's going to kill your family, take your stuff, do whatever. You know, I think when I was working in diplomatic security, it was called preventing imminent and grave danger to yourself and others. When everything you've done isn't going to prevent imminent and grave danger to yourself and your family members, well, that's when you may have to, you know, go to your, you know, to your firearms or whatever, but you should have options ahead of that. You know, like if you carry a firearm, you don't carry mace, you know, or pepper spray or something like a good quality stuff, you're probably wrong. Right. Yeah. You need to inject something, have the ability to inject something in there that's appropriate to the use of force that's needed. And again, that could be talking a situation down. Avoiding the conflict is always the best course of action.
Yeah. Yeah. And sort of, I mentioned this and I know probably a lot of people that were watching it and listening as well. I let that troll or bot or whatever the hell it was last week sort of get the best of me. And that is a perfect example of what not to do in a situation, because that is, with being live right here, it is sort of a live, it's a stressful situation when things don't go the way that you want them to go, and you're trying to do things on the fly. And even you were getting a little bit upset with me, like, just quit it. Just leave it alone. I mean, forget about it.
I've been working on this. I've been working on my head for a long time now. Right. So it's not a fair, you know, it's not a fair equivalency, right? Like, this is something I've had to do to work on my PTSD nonsense. But at the same time, right, there's only one person in the world that you can control. You can't control what other people do. You can only control yourself. And if you allow yourself, and of course, anger and, you know, worry and all that stuff, it's normal. It's human. It's part of the human equation. You can't get out of the way of it, but you can work on minimizing its impacts on you, right? Because you can't control other people. You can only control yourself. And remember that control that you're talking about, what we're dealing with is you're dealing with the central nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system response, right? Fight or flight, typically in that, you know, you have freeze in there as well. Right. So what you're trying to overcome when you're trying to manage that is you're trying to overcome a sympathetic nervous system response, the human condition. It's the instinct that is born in all of us to survive. And that part of that is, oh, you did something that I'm taking as a threat. I'm going to get, because what happens when you get pissed off? You know, you blow up, then you get angry, like, oh, I'm ready to fight. Well, it's trying to maintain your rational mind and trying to pull that out of it, because the more you have a sympathetic nervous system injection, the more you have adrenaline injected, the more you have that central nervous system going on, the less your rational mind makes rational thoughts. The emotional mind, which is where your sympathetic nervous system is much more powerful than your rational mind. It's your rational mind that needs to go in there and try to shut that down. And we don't always do it in the minute, but like that bot is a good opportunity to practice your stuff. Whenever you go out and someone pisses you off, or you find yourself getting nervous over something silly, back out of it and say, you know, and you might not catch it in the moment, right? You don't, this stuff takes practice. But when you find yourself getting bent out of shape, you go, hey, you know, who is me getting bent out of shape affecting? Like, you're literally giving that person like another win, right? The bot got a win because you were bent out of shape at it so much that it was like pissing you off. Like, what happens when you get pissed off? You got cortisol release and you have all this shit going on in you. Well, when you catch it, go, hey, this is all a reaction to what's happening. I can control this. They're still going to do their stuff, but I can make a better situation out of it if I'm in control. And when you take it to the survival stuff that we're talking about, if you get sucked into being pissed off about something, not just you, Dale, but the royal we is, you know, preppers. If a bad situation's happening and you get sucked into it and you start making a sympathetic nervous system response, like that's really engaging your thought process. You're like, oh, screw it. Let's go get those guys. And you run out there without thinking and doing stuff, and you end up becoming part of the problem. Right. You end up getting into something that had you had the time to think about it, you probably wouldn't have done that. Well, now you just created a bad, maybe not you didn't create but a bad situation became worse because that sympathetic nervous system overloaded yourself and got you to go do something that you wouldn't have otherwise done. Yeah. So the practice comes in when you find yourself driving down the road and you get really pissed off at somebody, how they're driving. That was one of my big things. I used to fucking lose my shit on a tear apart my truck, like go ballistic. When I was living in DC, I had a 12 minute commute. I would have a meltdown like three times driving home. Right. And so starting with like, oh, why did I just melt down? Did that guy really try to kill me? Or was he just, or she just not, and like, they weren't paying attention. Or maybe that person, like they're driving their car and their spouse just got done chewing their ass. The kids came home with F's. The boss told them that they're getting their office taken away and getting they're getting a pay cut. Like they just might not even be in it and they're having a bad day. And they didn't even realize they cut you off, but we take it as, you know, maybe not we, I know I used to take it super personal. Like it was an attack. I would lose my shit. So that when they do that, now what I try to do is like, I still like start screaming in my head and a little bit. And I go, why am I going to like, wait, what's going on here? This guy just cut me off. He's not, you know, most likely not meaning anything by it. So why don't I use that as an opportunity to practice calming down the moment? And instead what I do is I make up a story. That story I just told you about the wife being mad at him, the kids getting the F's and the boss laying into him. I say all that kind of stuff and I go, he's just a knucklehead. Let me not ruin my day because that guy got me upset. Like, again, I can only control me. So why do I want to walk around being all pissed off? You're in a much better mindset for preparedness when you're not angry, when you're not doing all that. And you're saying like, hey, yeah, I probably should stock up on this. You know, one of the things we do, you mentioned supplies, right? What do we do when it comes to supplies? Why do people focus on buying supplies? And like, that's their preparedness idea. Let me get a bunch of stuff.
Because it gives you that feeling of I'm doing something. I'm getting there.
And what is that feeling? That feeling that I'm doing something releases a dopamine hit. You get a dopamine hit, which is like it's like getting high. You get a little like, oh, that felt good. Let me do it again. It's like, you know, why do people do blow and meth and everything else? Oh, that felt good. Let me do it again. Right. And so let me go buy some more shit. It's a dopamine release, right? So figuring out how to give yourself a dopamine release by congratulating yourself and saying, hey, I went and learned something today about something I want to buy. It's resetting the narrative on that in our head. And I think that's a lot of what preparedness is. But when it comes to survival stuff, getting a hold of your emotions, I learned this when I was a paramedic for years, when I was working overseas, like when stuff would happen, it would be like, most people would be just, you know, just like it would like ducks on a morning glass on the water. Just everything's just calm. Like people weren't losing their mind. People weren't going crazy. And the minute something did happen and people started getting emotionally invested in it, you took yourself out of all your good responses. So super important. Use traffic, use whatever it is, but try to work on that. And over time, it takes a long time to do it. But over time, you'll find yourself getting on top of that stuff. So when things happen, you don't necessarily go down that emotional rabbit hole, or when you catch yourself going down it and you pull yourself out a lot sooner.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important part, especially for me, is the being conscious about what the state of mind that you're in. If you can catch yourself while you're there, you can pull yourself back. You can stop and just rethink. What is that? Speaking of stop, there's an acronym. Is it think, observe, and plan, something like that?
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I don't know if that's exactly it, but that's a good one.
I just made that all up. So
I like it. I think you should put that in the bug out location, one of your new videos.
but that is, whether you're talking about preparedness, like say something on the news got you all ramped up or you just noticed you had to throw away a whole bunch of food because it's expired and you get that tense feeling. It applies there as well as in an SHTF situation. Something's about to go down. Something is going on. The more you can think about something, the better off you're going to be able to handle that situation. And that also goes into the prior planning. The more you've trained, the more you've run through different scenarios in your mind about what could happen in this situation, what could happen in that situation, the better off you're going to be. So the mental part of preparedness is huge.
Well, that's what it is, right?
The supplies aren't, but it's huge.
It's the mental preparedness, I think, is the majority of it, right? When it comes to capability, you have three. When it comes to your ability, you have three things that funnel into it, right? You're on your capability to do things. You have mindset, ability, and luck. We know what luck is. It's good or bad. You can't change it. It is what it is. Mindset's what's in your head and how you, and this is what we're talking about now. But then you have your ability, right? That's your knowledge, skill, and resources. So if you look at those five, so it ends up being sort of five things. Resources is just one little small part of it. That's the quality of stuff you have, the volume of stuff you have, but it's your knowledge and skill on how to use it that makes yourself more able to do that. But I think if you, when you look at the mindset stuff, when you look at controlling yourself, like with you, with the bot, your trained response, because it's not the first time it's happened, your trained response for years, it's super highways in our mind. Someone does that, right? That's the trigger. And people get funny about, oh, it's a trigger. It's literally the trigger. It's the thing that, bang, the gun goes off in your head. And your super highway is, this guy's being an asshole to me. I'm going to go straight to being pissed off. It's routed in your brain. And we've been doing it. You know, like people talk about muscle memory. It's not muscle memory. It's mental memory, right? It's trying to, your brain is, again, going from that trigger to this reaction of me being pissed off and me and having the sympathetic nervous system response. Why, where the training comes in. And the cool part about this, when it comes to preparedness, all that shit you buy on Amazon, that costs money. This stuff is free. This stuff doesn't cost, it just takes up your time while you're driving around, you're thinking about it. So you say, hey, if something happens and I get angry, think about something that makes you angry so you can kind of feel it in your body a little bit and start getting pissed off and say, hey, instead of getting angry, I'm going to say, hey, how can I deal with the situation better? And come up with different ways where you could be positive instead of going, oh, I'm going to be angry. Go, oh, how could I deal with this? You know, and then come up with some solutions. That's situational awareness. Because what are you getting situationally aware for? Is how you react to a situation. We always think about situational awareness as all the information we're taking in. A lot of it is understanding the information that's getting sent to us by how we'll respond and working on that. Again, it's free training. Mental shit, that's why I like the Mind for Survival stuff. Mental is all free. Just takes your time and willingness to go, hey, maybe I'm fucked up. Maybe I need to work on myself a little bit. And we all do.
Yeah. And it's the training and all that. And we could honestly spend hours on this. That's what you do at your website. But I'll just end it on this. It is the training and stuff, because like a gun in your hands, because of the training you've had, is different than a gun in my hands. A wrench in the hands of a mechanic is completely different in the hands of me. I can do some things because I've learned some things. But a mechanic, my son, for example, can tear apart a car down to the last bolt and put it back together. So it's all that mental stuff that really does matter in preparedness more than, yes, the supplies are important. Yes, the gear and all that stuff is important. You need those tools to be able to help you. But that's exactly what they are, is they're a help.
And using your son as an example, right? If he's really pissed off one day and he goes to try to diagnose a car, right, that has some sort of problem, he's more likely to make a misdiagnosis.
Yeah.
Because your brain's going down the sympathetic nervous system response, right? It wants to do this other stuff, this fight, flight, freeze, this kind of stuff. And so it makes you less proficient. It makes you less effective. And emotion's great. There's a thing, it's called your true self. It's a balance between your rational mind and your emotional mind. We need emotion. It's part of what we have. It's unavoidable. It's part of the human condition. But it's balancing it out and trying not to let it overwhelm us.
Yeah. Yeah. Super important. And it really is, like you were talking about, something when we think about preparedness, we think about what I need to buy here, what I need to buy there. And it's not always about that. A lot of the times, if you don't have the money or, you know, just because you need, you got this brand new cool survival knife, fixed blade knife, whatever, that cost $150, doesn't increase your chances all that much compared to if you learn all the different ways to use that knife while you still have the cheap knife and you know, things like that. So yeah, the education part of it is huge in preparedness.
You can go out and buy all the, like at some point you have all the supplies you theoretically need, right? Let's say you want, you know, you're like, hey, I'm prep. I have a year's worth of food and whatever. Right. And you're like, I think I can like a year's like as much as I'll ever need, whatever that thing is. So you have all the supplies you need for a year or 10 years. Let's go 10 years, whatever that is. Well, all right, you got everything. Well, now what are you going to do? Stop doing anything, or you just keep buying more shit? At some point, it goes back to, how do you mentally prepare to deal with stuff? How do you mentally prepare to use it? Do you know when to use it? Do you know the circumstances to use it? Do you know the limitations of its use? Like, people will go on to Amazon and they'll just go buy some random pepper spray. Well, did you buy good pepper spray? Do you know how to use pepper spray, right? You just spray it at them. Most people just think, I'm just going to spray it, because they don't take the time to look at it. No, you cross the T, right? You make a cross over their face. So that way you get a better, you get a better chance at hitting them in the eyes. Do you know whether you're going to buy pepper spray or pepper gel? Pepper gel takes a while to work more effectively, to work effectively. It's not going to hit them as well as pepper spray does. So it's all these mental parts that go into it that you should probably go into it before you buy the stuff. Is typically what's going to happen is people are going to go to Amazon and buy this one has like 4 reviews. You know, it's low cost and it has like a cool sounding name. It's like tasers and stun guns. You know this. They put 8 billion volts. It's not about the volts. It's about, it's, I can't even pronounce the word. It's about the micro humans. I got an article on it over on Mind for Survival. And it's about the amount of pain that those tasers hit you with. Right. Well, some of the tasers that have 8 billion volts don't cause as much pain as the other ones. But you wouldn't know that when you go there. You go see a taser from whatever taser company. Oh, 8 billion volts. That has the most volts. Let me buy this. You're not doing yourself any favors. So you got to do your research. What is that mindset? The more you research, the more you learn how to use it. The more you think through situations with it. So.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, so we went a little bit longer than I wanted to on that, so we're going to go ahead and move on, which is cool though, because it really is an important topic. But I wanted to move on to this article right here with the FBI raid, and I've got a couple articles on this. I thought this was pretty interesting because just the headline, because I read a few different articles, or not read a few, but I breezed through a few of them. And this one right here, just it's like they get a quote and they will just run with it. This one says Trump supporter killed by FBI raid was a teddy bear who cared for his blind son, and made the this almost makes the guy seem way more not as sort of insane as he actually was. This article right here, who was Craig Robertson? He was the armed supporter who was shot dead by the FBI, and. Let me go back to this one. I'll play this clip right here of this dude talking about it.
Just of making violent threats against the president. Just hours before President Biden landed in Utah, FBI agents shot and killed a Utah man accused of making violent threats against the president. Agents shot Craig Robertson in the town of Provo after they tried serving a search warrant at his home. Authorities say the man was armed at the time of the shooting, and court papers allege the man referenced a, quote, presidential assassination and also made threats against multiple attorneys general. President Biden is visiting states in the western part of the country.
You're muted. Hey, you're muted.
Oh, I muted myself as I was coughing. I want to pull that shot back up though, because there are some lessons here that we can learn as preppers, because there are some images in here about what this guy did, what put this guy on the radar. And caused this situation. And then I also want to talk about how maybe it could have been handled a little bit differently, because the FBI already under the radar, under the gun, and evidently they don't care. But in this article, you see, this is what this guy's posting. This image right here, not too bad. This image right here, anybody that starts posting things like this, I think that's where you get into that territory of, okay, there's something going on in this dude's head.
Well, hey, he wants to be all about his guns. Hey, hashtag freedom, Second Amendment. He can post whatever he wants, but we have to understand. It's like, when you see that, when people talk about open carry or the right to bear arms kind of stuff, and you see guys rolling into, Starbucks or some yogurt shop with an M4 slung across their back. Yeah. Is it your right? Sure. I agree with that. But at the same time, you need to be responsible and understand that when you act upon your rights, there are also repercussions for that at times, right? It's like to be smart about the stuff. And so here you're showing these posts, death to Joe Biden. I mean, he has one up here that I'm seeing. It's, I hear Biden is coming to Utah, digging out my old ghillie suit and cleaning the dust off the M24 sniper rifle. Welcome, buffoon in chief. You know, like, hey, man, when you run your mouth like that and you make threats, you're going to, especially against the president, if you don't like him, you're going to have people look at you. And we all know that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies have done a terrible job in how they de-escalate situations. So that comes back to not putting yourself in the middle of the shitstorm. It's why you should obey the laws. We don't like the laws. I don't like the gun laws in the world, like that we have in the country, right? Like, I'm like, I think we, you know, I think, and hopefully a bunch of these gun laws are getting overturned, but I don't like a lot of them. And at the same time, if you break it and you do stuff like that, you know what's going to happen. Don't run afoul of the federal government if you can avoid it.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, we have a sick government. We have a government that's not good. Well, you know, he's a sign of that. And, you know, again, you got to be smarter, not harder, man.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that guy, I don't necessarily really want to defend the guy because it seems like, you know, a little bit of over the top behavior, but that just goes to show how tense everything is in this country. At the same time, you got to know, and this is a good lesson for preppers, and most of us already know this, but you can't be putting stuff like that online. You know, it's all, I don't know where he was posting this stuff, but if it was Facebook, guaranteed anywhere, guaranteed it's going straight to them.
Here's a question for you. When Trump gets reelected again or whatever, when the next Republican that everybody's behind gets reelected in, hopefully it's not a Republican or a Democrat, but when that happens and somebody, you know, say Trump, for example, and Antifa starts making a bunch of threats against Trump, will the right be pissed off if they're not dealt with? If they're not gone out and investigated? No, like, yeah, the right will get pissed off. Like, why didn't you do anything?
Yeah. Same thing.
You know, it's the same Brandon, you know, hey, Brandon, finally you got one that I agree with. I think the subtext of the First Amendment should say you have the right to the consequences of your actions. 100%.
Yeah.
Hashtag freedom. Freedom has responsibility. Right. I don't know what your name is. Dejanub, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, you know who I'm talking about. It says no guns, pepper or bear spray in crossing Canada's border. Right. Yeah. You're going to Canada. You're trying to go to Alaska. If you want to go to Alaska and have a gun, you need to ship it to an FFL in Alaska and pick it up when you get there.
No bear spray.
I don't know about bear spray, but you know, but guns, I would assume in Canada, you can have bear spray, but it's Canada. So I wouldn't, you know, I'm talking out my ass here, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau might think that's an act of violence.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think with this, going back to this guy right here, granted, he did all the things that are going to get you put on the radar. You know, this guy was, in my opinion, this guy deserved to have a talking to at the very least, right? I've been taught my whole life, you don't, you know, we used to joke about it in high school. You don't make threats against the president. You go to jail for that crap. And it's still the case these days. You don't think that situation where Biden was going to Utah and all these threats are being made, that's not going to get taken seriously? Hell yes, it is. And then you look at all the other things that he was just being completely public about and making no bones about his feelings and all that. You're going to get a visit. And I think he should have gotten a visit. At the same time, did it have to go down the way that it went down, though? I mean, couldn't they have gotten this guy going to church or something like that?
My understanding was this guy had a history of the threats. And he had said, if FBI shows up to my house, like, I don't know the exact quote, so this is me paraphrasing here, is like, come guns a-blazing. Like, you show up, we're going to have a problem. So it's, you know, it's called intelligence, right? You know, when I was working overseas, if you're going to a bad area and they say, hey, you're going to this bad area, expect to have problems, you're more keyed up. You know, when they knew they had bombs on our route that were targeting us,
mm-hmm.
Well, you knew what, if you went that on that route, you knew what was probably going to happen. So when you're the FBI and like, look, we know my views on the FBI and federal law enforcement, right? Like, I think for by and large, I think, hey, Do they do important jobs? Yeah, they do important jobs. And do I think a bunch of them are overreaching assholes? 100%, right? Maybe all of them. I don't see them out there protesting. But when they're getting ready to go deal with, to have to go talk to somebody who's making, you know, making threats on the president's life, and we should expect that anybody who makes the, even though you don't like Biden, anybody who makes a threat on the president is going to get it, like you said, is going to get a talking to. Mm-hmm. I would expect that. And if that person happens to say, if you come to my house, I'm going to start shooting. Well, what do you think they're going to like? What do you think they're going to do when they roll up? Like, they're going to be keyed up. You know, was the actions inside appropriate? I don't know. I don't know if the guy was armed when he was inside his house. He gave all indications of it.
Yeah.
That he would be. So, you know, what should they do? Go walk up to the door and, you know, like, I don't know. Again, that's, you know, like, let's put it on the other foot, right? Like, again, if that was a guy making threats against Trump, some Antifa guy, you know, how would we look at that? I think there's, when you inject when you inject violence into the equation, you better be ready to be met with violence.
Yeah.
And that could be from lack of, maybe it wasn't a good response by the FBI, but that's what, you know, that might happen, right? Look at Uvalde, right? Look at what happened down there, right? Look at what happened down in Florida where the school resource officer didn't go into the school and let those kids get shot. And then they just let them go on. They didn't convict them for his stuff in court. Like, you know, there are bad officers out there, bad people, bad tactics, bad strategies. Don't be on the bad end of bad shit.
Yeah. Like Brandon said in the chat, don't poke the bear. And that's exactly, that is the lesson that we should all just heed as preppers is, you know, regardless how you feel about one way or the other. We bitch about Biden and this government all the damn time. Don't wish the dude dead, you know, anything like that. But at the same time, you know, there are things, and I'm not going to go too far with this, but there are things that we talk about that just don't need to be aired publicly. And there are things that I have and I do in preparedness that don't need to be aired publicly. You just got to have that control over what the hell you're doing. And that was almost asking for it to me.
When you get in the ring with somebody, when you get in the fight ring with somebody, you're in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, and, you know, if they control the rules to the fight, which that's what the government does. Anytime you square off against the government, they're the ones that are able to that control the rules. I mean, look at January 6th. You got people that walk through the, you know, like, oh, let me just go walk through here and not do anything. I'm just going to go walk around and take selfies that are doing years in prison for trespassing. When how many times do you see people do years in prison for trespassing? Like, how often? But probably very rare, if never. But yeah, they're all getting slammed. Why? They got into the ring. They made a bad judgment call on that day and got into the ring with the federal government. That's what, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah. I was laughing there a second ago. Brandon made a comment. Note to self, don't open the door in a ghillie suit. Yeah, it's probably a good idea. Unless you know who it is. If you're not sure who it is, I don't think that I'd be opening the door in the ghillie suit.
It's an unfortunate situation, dude. Totally unfortunate that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what? Like, he took away a lot of the defense that you can have for this guy by setting the stage for that to happen. Don't set the stage to have a. It's why, you know, it's like why I don't speed. I don't want to have an interaction with a cop.
Yeah.
You know, like there's very few good interactions that come with that, right? Like, you're setting yourself up. As soon as you open that door, you're setting yourself up for problems.
Yeah. The other thing that I don't like about it is that there's already a bullseye on, you know, Americans, basically people that they could, that consider some themselves patriots and consider themselves sort of like this guy with the same sort of mindset. There's already a bullseye on people like that. So this is just making it worse. It's sort of like your analogy. Yes, you have the right to open carry an AR-15, but should you? Because if you know, if you're just going to create more chaos and create more havoc and do things like that, you're not making the situation better. You're making the situation worse, and that's what this guy did.
And here's something for you. So if you have the right to open carry an AR-15, right? So you go somewhere and you open carry an AR-15. How with the number of active shooters that we've had, or you know, and you see stuff on TV blowing that up. What does that do One, it gives you, it ruins your element of surprise, right? You, if you conceal carry something, not that you're going to conceal carry an AR-15 necessarily, but when you conceal carry, you decide when and where and how you're going to deploy your firearm or if you're going to deploy it, right? And no one knows the difference. But when you open carry, what do you do? You open the potential that someone's going to say, hey, there's a crazy dude walking around with a gun down here.
Yeah.
And now what's going to happen? Cops are going to show up. Now, and as soon as that happens, you've moved down that pathway to a negative encounter. Maybe it ends up being a good encounter, but the minute you open carry that AR-15 across your back because you want to exert your rights and show everybody like, look what I can do, you've already started down that path to having a negative encounter. And a negative encounter with law enforcement, if it goes really bad, means you get shot, means you get killed, means you lose, you go to jail. Maybe you lose your right not to carry a gun, depending on how that interaction happens.
Yeah. That's a good analogy of what exactly how this situation with this dude looks like it went down. I mean, we'll see. There may have been mistakes made on both sides of this. I don't know. Sure. But at this point, I'm not willing to pass judgment on anybody at this point, other than he did some things that you're just not supposed to do.
Well, and I'm kind of the belief these days that cops should, like, this whole idea that cops, when they go and calling FBI cops, right? Like, law enforcement, when they enter houses and they do dynamic entries and all this shit, the flashbangs and everything that they're doing, there's no reason for that. Unless somebody's in there posing a threat to the people in there, there's no reason for that. That dude isn't going to shoot anybody from inside. You know, like, Biden isn't driving by the guy's house.
Yeah.
So they do this, and, you know, because the thing is, they get it wrong a lot. They hit the wrong houses. We have, you know, there's been cases, lots of cases where they go in and they end up killing the wrong person, kind of shit, right? Because it's not even their house. And the person's like, what are these guys coming through my door? Bang, bang. And next thing you know, you have a shootout between cops and some homeowner that's hanging out. Like, why are these guys invading my house? I'm a big believer that cops just need to, like, let's shut this area down. You know, as far as his house, nobody's going in or out. And when you're ready, dude, you come out. Have your hands up. And that's how we'll deal with it. But this entry shit that we do is fucking dumb. Unless there's an active threat happening, there should be no entry. This is like fucking cowboys and Indians bullshit. They need to knock it off.
Well, and that was my point with this, is there had to have been different opportunities, because this was no imminent threat type situation. You would think there would be other opportunities where you either wait for him to come outside or wait for him, like I said earlier, wait for him to go to church, go to the grocery store, do something that is not going to cause that crazy situation like that, because who knows what happened? Who knows what his reaction when they went in, all of these things, somebody that's already on edge. We talked about the mental part of it earlier. Somebody that's already, just lost it, basically, is not in the correct mindset. And all of a sudden you've got this stuff going on in your house. So I just think that, it could have been handled much differently. And that's the way they choose to do things, though, is you just bust in and
the problem on their end is law enforcement, typically in some form or fashion, the rules of engagement, like I said a while ago, like when I was doing stuff with diplomatic security, that you use lethal force is authorized only when you're trying to prevent imminent and grave damage to yourself, in other words, to others, right? Well, the minute they go into that door, they're setting up the potential for that imminent and grave danger to themselves and the other guys that are and women or whoever they're coming in the door with them. Well, don't set up the opportunity for imminent and grave danger. Stay out. Surround and say, hey, dude, you need to come out. If the guy wants to start shooting out the window, then go ahead and do your thing. But again, law enforcement really needs to reevaluate how they do this stuff. These high risk warrants that they're constantly going out and doing, you know, hey, figure it the fuck out. Let that person come out. Go out and shut off their water. I don't care. Like, you know, if there's somebody you want to come out, figure it out. But what they're doing, I don't, you know, again, I have problems with what we do on that. So anyhow.
Yeah. All right, so I want to move on to this next one, because you sent this to me the other day, and I thought it was pretty interesting, because people probably, you know, I know there are people that assume that this is just so terrible. You're letting people that are, you know, just baked out of their mind or loaded or, you know, on crack or whatever, you're allowing them to possess firearms and it's not illegal. You know, I can already, and I'm surprised, I didn't read this article. So, well, yes, I did. I read a little bit of it. I'm surprised that this is one of two CNN articles I have in today's show. But this article is goes through it. It's completely different than that, right? This is a case where the guy had like a joint or something in his car.
I think he had a roach or maybe like two roaches or something. And so because he had a firearm in the car, they hit him on like, oh, well, you're on, I can't remember what number it is on the firearms form on your firearms. You do your background check, but it's, you know, you're not supposed to have any, you know, you're saying you don't use any marijuana or illicit addictive substances and all that. And so that's what they kind of tried to jam him up on.
And then this, it was struck down, correct? Is that what the whole case of this is?
So what the case comes back and says is that you can't hammer, like, it's just like having alcohol or being on prescription medications. You can't take away someone's right. Again, let's talk Second Amendment's a right. It's like the right to free speech. You can't take away someone's right because they have something. Like, it doesn't mean they're using it. Doesn't mean they're under the influence of it. Any of that stuff. You can't take away their right.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what they went back to on this. And, you know, is it weird timing that like this is one, this might help, you know, with the Hunter Biden case that, you know, where he's getting jammed up
on thing.
This kind of stuff. But at the same time, I think this is a win. You know, I think this is a win for the Second Amendment. You know, it's, you can't deny a person a right to a firearm just because you don't like the fact. I mean, go out and buy, you know, go buy a case of tequila. That's a mind altering substance.
Yeah. Worse than pot, I think.
But that's okay. Right. You know, I mean, like, again, this is this system that we have that's bullshit. The Second Amendment's absolute. And just because I have something or I have a lifestyle you don't like, doesn't mean like I should lose my rights to enact on the Second Amendment. Now, if I'm out with a firearm and I'm loaded, not the gun, me,
both,
you know, hopped up on a bunch of shit or fucking drunk or whatever that is, then I should suffer consequences for that.
Yeah.
You know, the minute people start drinking, put the guns down. Guns go away. Actually, the guns go away before you start drinking.
Yeah.
It's about being responsible. It's a dead. It can kill people.
Yeah. 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 I agree. And I was wondering where your stance was on that because I kind of figured that's where it was going to be because just because you have something and it to me, that's what my point was going to be is it's no different than alcohol, especially these days. Now, if you're talking about a kilo of cocaine or something like that, I don't know, maybe you get arrested for that, not the firearm charge. But, you know, speaking of Hunter Biden. But I don't know how much he had. But when you're talking about weed, it is the exact same thing as alcohol and maybe even a little bit less because you can OD and die. You can, you know, drink, you know, a 12 pack or whatever and actually get in the car and kill somebody. The odds are that being drunk, the odds of you killing somebody are far more likely than if you're just high. Basically, yeah, is what I'm trying
I
to
think
say.
Whenever
I'm not trying to say both are okay. Either one is okay, but
when you have a firearm, man, it requires a lot of personal responsibility. A firearm, it doesn't take much. Look how many people kill themselves with their own guns because they didn't bother to clear it when they're cleaning, kind of stuff, right? Kids in the house that get shot. So the minute you inject a firearm, it's a lethal force instrument into anything. Like if you're under any sort of influence, dude, wrong. You're wrong. 100%, whether it's alcohol, whether it's pot, whether it's, you know, someone gave you a prescription for Xanax, you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because what does that do? It impairs your judgment. And when you have something and whether that's, you know, you're just kind of out of your head enough to turn around and accidentally point your firearms in a direction that's not downrange and away from people, dude, you open the door to possibly killing somebody.
Yeah.
And typically when you're out shooting, you're not out shooting in a war. Who are you out shooting with? Your family and friends.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely opens up your brain when you get in that mind altering stuff, regardless what it is, of doing stupid shit, whether you intentionally did it or not. Just doing that dumb crap that, you know, the next day you regret and all that stuff. So, yeah. But I agree with you. There should be consequences, but not, I think you can have those consequences without it having been a restriction on the Second Amendment. You can put somebody in jail if they're loaded out of their mind with a loaded weapon, you know, make that punishment harsh. But it, you know, it doesn't have to, you know, affect their ability to get a firearm the next time. But well, I don't know.
And what they do is, you know, the federal government doesn't arrest people for typically on drug charges. Like, remember when Biden said he exonerated all the people that were in federal prison from on their marijuana convictions?
Yeah, which was bullshit.
Federal government doesn't bust people for pot typically. They use it as a leverage tool to add time to their sentence, right? And to screw with them. Right. So it's kind of, I don't know. I think this is an issue. The Second Amendment is absolute. Get the fuck off the Second Amendment. Right. You know, like they want, you know, we talk about, I think a lot lately about, like, they talk about assault rifles. You know, I'm sitting out here in California, which there's a bunch of firearms cases that are up before the courts right now, which California, Illinois, that have been taking a hard stance against the Second Amendment might be starting to get their shit pushed in here pretty soon over this stuff. But, you know, it's cool. Like assault rifles. Oh, those are military weapons. Well, the law our cops aren't military. What do all the cops pretty much carry now? They all carry M4s. Like, law enforcement uses it. That should be good. If it's good enough to defend cops, it should be good enough to defend us. And their cops aren't fighting in a war. As much as we want to say it's a war on our streets, and maybe in some places it kind of is, right? No, get the fuck off our Second Amendment.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, so this next one here I've got. This is the second CNN article I'm going to post, but, and I was actually surprised that they put this on their website and not something touting how wonderful Bidenomics is. But this says, with US inflation means families are spending $709 more per month than 2 years ago. That is a freaking huge number. And I have no doubt, I just by going through how it feels for me here at home, I have no doubt that's actually true. And this was, I can't remember who did this. Somewhere in here it says who did this poll, but it's a legitimate poll, or it's a little bit legitimate source that is doing this. So $709, you hear Biden and all these yahoos talking about Bidenomics and how everything is just absolutely fantastic, that we're going in the right direction and everything's great. Inflation's down is what they'll tell you, even though by down, all they mean is less than it was up last year. So it's still, you know, it's still higher than it should be, all that stuff. So the numbers they give you or the numbers they put out with their little tweets and their you know, cherry pick charts and things like that. I guess it makes sense if you are one of those people that can afford $40 a pint ice creams and you have drivers and people, chefs that make your own food and things like that. But to me, that $700 means a lot as far as what I can do on a monthly basis. As a prepper, it means food storage, it means ammo, it means a whole bunch of different things. $700 is a lot. In California, I'm curious, have you seen, it's got to be just insane. Colorado's not necessarily cheap, but it's not necessarily expensive either. We're getting to the expensive side, but what have you seen out in California as far as real numbers? Not the.
Oh, it's out of control, bro. It's out of control here. I just looked at, because I don't drive my truck around here too much just because it's so expensive to fill up diesel. Well, it's getting time. I got to put some fuel in my truck. And I just saw the other day, was it like almost $6 a gallon for diesel right now? Right. So you have that. You look at the price of houses, a small 2-bedroom house, in a lot of areas out here, like a small yard, like kind of that, like the yard, like you would, it's like, you know, like a small little 1200 square foot, give or take, family home kind of thing, you know, small little suburban home, from back in the 50s kind of home, $1 million. Plus rent, you know, like a house like that, like you're going to rent a 2-bedroom house with a little yard and like a 1-car garage, $5,000 a month. Right. Yeah, like, no, it's out of control. I mean, and then, you know, then because, oh, we can't deal with plastic bags, we got to protect the environment. So let's go out and, you know, we'll make everybody require everybody to pay for bags. They want you to bring in your own sacks into the store. For grocery bags, when you get a bag, if you forgot to bring in your reusable bag, 10 cents
a pop. That law just passed here too.
Yeah. 10 cents a pop. Right. Yeah. So You know, it's across the board. Everything. Part of the problem that look at California. What they want to do, or they're trying. I don't know if they got it through, or if they're trying to do it, trying to figure out how to tax people that leave the state. Keep taxing them once they leave the state for several years, right? Like, oh, well, you took money with us. It's like the post office trying to tax people for emails. Like, oh, you're going to start charging you 5 cents an email because we're losing money on your shit. Go fuck yourself. Stay competitive, right? And so, no, it's a mess out here with all that stuff. What's that?
So there, it's basically like if you take money out early from your 401k, you get penalized. If you decide you don't want to live in California anymore, they're going to tax you for leaving. That's
what they want, yeah. They're trying. They've run out of the ability to just find money anywhere. So now they're making up shit to try to control their run, like to try to keep plussing up their runaway spending on stupid shit. Right? You know, I mean, it's terrible out here. Everything's expensive. The utilities, right? Like if you're using too much water, they try to send people to your house. Like, oh, well, let's talk about how you can reduce your water flow. Why don't they have the fucking ocean's a half hour that way. Why don't they have desalination plants? Oh, because if they produce more water than the people that, and the government that own all the water futures that buy stock in water would lose money, wouldn't make as much money, right? Electricity, same kind of shit, right? You know, pushing the, hey, everybody needs to have an electric vehicle by 2030. They're going to outlaw a gas vehicle kind of shit. Oh, but hey, you can't charge your vehicle. Now I did an Uber. I had some friends come in and I went and met them for dinner. And so I did an Uber and it was the first time I ever rode in a Tesla. So I was talking to the guy. I'm like, how is it? He goes, it's great. You know, for driving around town, I don't got to fill up. He's like, but I can't charge it till after midnight. Cause if you charge it before then, they hit you with astronomical, like the amount of power it costs to charge it. He goes like, it'll kill you. Yeah. So, you know, they push all this shit and then they tax you to death every year. That's the California way. It's California's fucking horrible. It's an example of how it's the same. They're doing the same shit in Illinois. Look at New York, right? I mean, what are people in New York getting for all their tax dollars? A whole bunch of fucking immigrants taking over their park, taking over their hotels, committing crime. You know, Mayor Adams, like, oh, I wish Texas would stop doing it. You know what Mayor Adams has started doing now from New York City? He's busing immigrants out to other, like to Albany and other parts of New York, getting them out of the city. So that fucker's doing the same thing that's being done to him.
Yeah.
You know, they all blow a bunch of smoke up everybody's asses and they don't offer real solutions. They just kill. There's no middle class out here. Part of the problem with California, you got a lot of people out here make a fuck ton of money. Right. The Hollywood crowd that are making money, and you know, there's tech and there's different industries that make a lot of money, but they don't realize that, hey, I'm making $150,000, $200,000 a year. I'm making decent money because it's so expensive that they're about close to sucking dick for spare change to try to get by because they're spending $5,000 a month for rent.
Yeah. Yeah. No shit. Oh, I don't even know where to go after that one. So, but I did see this from the Babylon Bee, sort of on the same topic, which I thought was hilarious. So I got to show it tonight. And like I put in this tweet right here, I said, this is from the Bee, but it sure sounds like something the White House would say. And the title of the Babylon Bee article is, the White House says Bidenomics is so successful, the average American has twice as many jobs as they had 2 years ago. And I'm like, that is exactly what you would expect to come out of her mouth, to come out, you know, some little chart that shows how great they're doing. I mean, I could see him pulling some crap like that, but that's exactly Bidenomics right there. And I'll tell you what, you know, I'll give Biden and or whoever's running the show, right, credit, all the credit in the world for this crap that's going on right now. But at the same time, this, I think, is directly correlated with all the crap that happened during the COVID pandemic.
No,
you're looking at me like I'm not making sense. Am I making sense or no?
I think you're right. It got it started. I remember like all the different relief packages we did going back to Trump signing in billions of dollars. But then what have they done, right? This is, again, what we preach about. It's modern monetary theory. Just keep printing money. Whatever the government feels it wants to do, just print fucking money and then take it out of the system. They're taking it out of our ass through inflation. That's how this modern monetary thing's working, right? Yeah. Inflation's a tax of either an ineffective government or a corrupt government, right? And so what are they doing now? They're talking about giving another $25 billion to Ukraine. And what, and a week or 2 weeks ago, Biden slipped it in there that he's going to start using the Ukraine money to start funneling weapons and shit to Taiwan. Right? Like, we've given $100 billion, $100-something billion to Ukraine. We're spending all, they're just creating money. So that's the problem. Like, we're not spending money. We're not buying as much because of inflation. We're spending a ton. The problem is the government hasn't stopped spending fucking money.
Yeah.
You want to stop inflation, those fucking cockbags have to stop spending money. Until that happens, inflation's just going to keep going up because they've crushed the middle class. Where's the middle class? I mean, there might be, you know, a few of us left, but by and large, most people are living paycheck to paycheck. The average person couldn't put their hands on $1,000 if they had an emergency. Like, that's what we got now. Most people wouldn't survive a medical emergency because they can't afford the co-pays and all the bullshit that goes along with it.
Yeah. And that's how, you know, you would think it, or, you know, I was raised to think anyway, that as you go through life, you do things that make things better and you gradually build up and, you know, things get better as time goes on, you get more comfortable. And it really is the opposite these days. It's almost like treading against water. Like, no matter what you do, you're not making any gains anymore. It's all just being taken away, whether you're, I mean, granted, our mortgage went up because of property values and things like that. But at the same time, the insurance and all that stuff, it's all built into that whole thing. Then you've got the food prices, then you got the energy prices. I mean, all these different things just add up. That $700 a month easily I buy that number easily. And that $700 a month for a lot of people is that difference, like you were just talking about, from being close to middle class or whatever to living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, $700 to a majority of people in this country is a lot of money in a month. Especially when you think if you're renting an apartment or something, and I don't know what apartments go for anymore. Back when I was renting back in my 20s, it was $1,200-$1,300, probably $1,700-$1,800 these days. But
depends on where you're at.
That's a third of what you're paying for rent.
Mm-hmm. So, no, I mean, you're in a situation, right, where everybody's kind of drowning in inflation and they're treading water and they're like, oh, you know, let me put my pants over my head and fill them up with air so I can lean back and do a little survival swim shit. The problem is the government hasn't stopped pumping water into the pool that you're drowning in.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even just pumping water. They're spraying the water in your fucking face while you're trying to take a breath. You know, and until they get spending, and there's no, they have no intention to get spending under control. Because they're all like, again, we talk about, is there really a federal budget? They used to go, hey, here's all the budget items, and they would fight over the budget. There's no budget. What do we have? It's coming up again, October, continuing resolution. You know, maybe I think they might've pushed it off till next year. They got a 2-year continuing resolution maybe, but it's continuing resolutions. That's what you always hear. Well, the Republicans or Democrats aren't going to fund the government. That's what the budget used to be. This is just them writing a blank fucking check every fucking time.
And then every time it happens too, you get the media lapdogs that are all in on it saying, oh, this could be terrible. We got to get this solved. We got to get this figured out. Instead of making these guys do their damn job, the media is just there to say, hey, you need to support them being able to do this because they're doing this for you.
When it happens again, go back to this conversation. Remember this, because what they tell you is, oh, all these poor fucking federal workers won't get paid. The military and everybody get paid. It, like, there's people that get paid because they can't have them not work.
Yeah.
So it's the non-essential employees get sent the fuck home.
But and everybody still goes, get paid.
What are these poor federal workers going to do? Especially the poor federal workers that live in Washington, D.C., four of the five richest counties in the country. Oh, they're going to lose all this money. Every time that they have a shutdown due to a continuing resolution, within a month or so after the shutdown, Congress passes a bill that pays them all their back pay for the time they miss. So they got a paid fucking vacation on top of their fucking vacation, that the regular vacation that they would take. They've never not gotten paid for their time they got laid off, right? Or they got furloughed or whatever the fuck you want to call it for a few weeks.
Yeah.
It happens every time. Those federal workers are going to get paid. And how about this? How about we cut the federal fucking government? Dude, when I was working at State Department, I was working in diplomatic security, right? And it was the whole building you had to have a security clearance in. And it was this, you know, I don't know, 16 floor fucking place that government didn't own. They leased on a regular. But anyway, when they would come around twice a day to take the trash out. So you had this little Hispanic lady who didn't have a security clearance that was coming around to pick up the trash. And she had a woman that was coming around with her with a stick that would point to the next trash can because the woman had a clearance. So she was escorting her. So that way, you know, I guess she didn't walk into a classified meeting or something. I got an idea. How about we get away the get the little lady picking up the trash cans, get her the fuck out of there. And the fucking fat slob that was escorting her around the building, that was her whole job. How about she take out the fucking trash? Or how about the people just say, hey, here's the trash chute. Take your fucking cans over there and dump it, dickhead, when it starts overflowing. We eliminate two jobs. But no, that's not the federal government. And I guarantee you that fat bitch that was out fucking escorting that lady around had a backup to her in case she couldn't show up one day because she was sick.
Yeah.
Guarantee fucking it. Yeah. That's our federal government. It's fucking bloated and they don't want to get – the only guy talking about reducing the federal government is Vivek Ramaswamy right now. Unfortunately, he's a Republican. And he thinks Reagan's a hero. So he has a couple of oars he needs to figure the fuck out.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, with all the other, you know, with all the other, with all your other choices to choose from, I don't know that Reagan's all that bad. Considering the turds that we're left that are hanging around the toilet bowl these days. At any rate, I want to pivot now to this. Lisa brought this to my attention the other day about Antifa, and I haven't heard much about them lately or anything, so I figured I'd talk about this. But this Andy Ngo guy, NGO, I don't know how to pronounce that.
No. It's no.
Andy Ngo. Okay. I saw this a while back, sometime last year on Twitter, with some of the things that were going on. I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. But what got me with this article is because Lisa told me this the other day that she came home and one of her doctors told her about how this lawyer, this defense attorney, basically told them, I am Antifa and I know all of your guys' names, basically scaring the jury, basically. In this, I want to put up this article right here, just the last few paragraphs, so it makes a little bit of sense. Let me scroll down and find out where I need to be here. This week at trial, defense lawyer Rose City Antifa hacker, defense lawyer for Rose City Antifa hacker and Riker, Michelle Burrows, asserted she was a progressive anti-fascist. She said, I am Antifa, noting that she would be wearing a T-shirt with the same message after trial. She told the jury the post-millennial for whom Go is a senior editor noted that Antifa's unfavorable reputation is untrue and depicted the organized militant group as activists fighting for social justice and civil rights. This last paragraph right here, the judge was forced to take stricter security measures for the safety of the jurors. The public and non-credentialed journalists were banned from the courtroom, and jurors mentioned that they were in fear that their identities would be released. Burroughs told the jurors after saying she was retiring at the conclusion of the trial that she will remember each one of their faces. Does that, to me, that sounds like it should be like the judge should have said right there. No, this is, you know, mistrial.
No, that chick should have been locked the fuck up.
Yeah.
No, yeah. But what is that? She's trying to say, no, Antifa's just misunderstood. We're actually about rights and stuff. That's like saying a pimp's about women's empowerment, trying to keep women working. Right.
Yeah.
It's the same bullshit. Come on, Antifa. We know what Antifa is. And this is, you know, the left tries to act like Antifa is some sort of good group of people. Right. You know, if they're a good group of people, they wouldn't wear all the shit that they wear. They wouldn't fucking pull all the burn down cities, throw bricks and all that. You know, it's part of the same old shit, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And it the last paragraph in this, I'm going to put this link in the article. I'm going to put this link in the chat here because it goes through all the details about what happened, who was on trial and why and all that. But it goes through that the last paragraph here is the jurors then found Rose County Antifa hacker and Riker not liable for the physical and mental damages against Ngo. So after she intimidated the jury, they went ahead and said, oh, no, not guilty. She knows our faces. She knows where we are. This is Antifa. Not guilty. And this is Seattle. So go figure. Antifa basically runs Seattle at this point.
Well, you got the Seattle government. It's just like the Portland government, right? They don't care about the safety of their citizens. They care, you know, look at the Gascon DAs, right? Gascon or Soros DAs that just let everybody do whatever the fuck they want. Don't prosecute people unless you go against, you know, something against what they want. This is more of their bullshit. And hey, you know what? If I look at it, it's just like out here in California. Fucking California they can break a dick off in California for all I care. Right? They're out here causing their own problems. These fuckers vote this way. Seattle, they voted all these fuckers in. Portland, Portland's been having problems for years. And the fucking cockbags up there keep voting in these assholes who keep letting all this stuff happen. You know,
yeah, they keep doing it.
Yeah. You know, the problem is it's the schmoes, you know, like you and I, and, you know, most of the people in the chat, it's us that takes the brunt of this stuff up in Portland and Seattle. It's not the Nancy Pelosi's, you know, until the crazy guy with, you know, with the hammer and the underwear shows up and smacks her husband in the head. But it's typically not them that deal with the problems, right? They're all living in their nice areas. They don't have any issues. Yeah. It's not until it starts affecting them that the issues happen. You know, it's out here in LA. You got all these fucking Karens running around here, but, you know, saying all this crazy shit, but they're in their houses taking care of their kids and doing their shit. They don't see what's really happening in the world. You know, they run around and they, you know, you see all the Winnebagos and all the tents around town here. They don't, oh, those poor our unhoused neighbors. We got to figure out a different term to call them. We can't call them homeless. They're unhoused. In the meantime, they don't see that they're committing crime. They're fucking raping women on the streets. They're taking shits in doorways and all the shit that they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, they're not out there. Oh, we just need to give them money. They're not out there trying to fix it. They're not going, hey, Gavin Newsom, why haven't you fucking done anything about this yet? You know, oh, you're giving hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to people to fix the homeless problem who haven't done it. Why aren't you holding those people accountable and locking them the fuck up for absconding with funds? No, they don't want to do any of that just because they can sit in their little ivory tower and not have to fucking never take a chance on it having a problem themselves.
Yeah. And that's my problem with that way of thinking is that it's one, it's based on emotion. So you take one part. If you're in your little ivory tower in your gated community, you can afford to take one part of the story. And I'm all for having compassion and things like that. But when you can just take one part of the story and say, oh, we need to be able to do this. They need to be able to do this. That's rude to do this to them. That's rude to do that to them. That's only one part of the story. When you look at all the other things that are going on, when you look at all the crime and you look at, you know, just the full picture in its entirety, then it's harder to have that compassion. But people that keep voting these people in, people that I've got this article and we'll go over this a little bit. People like the Chaz Chop thing, people that see that and people that look at Antifa as these anti-fascists doing these good deeds and this activist group. They're nowhere near Chaz and Chop. They were nowhere near any of this crap that's going on. They're nowhere near like the Andy Go guy. You know, I understand he injected himself into a situation intentionally. So I don't necessarily feel too sorry for the guy because he was trying to instigate a situation like that, whether he will admit it or not. He wanted that to get.
Well,
that,
Andy that knows. Andy knows been like the guy. I think he runs the Post Millennial. He's been the guy that's been going around really trying to shine a light on what Antifa shit's doing. Like he's constantly up there. I like, look at his, go check out his Twitter feed every day. It's like, look, these Antifa people got away with this. These Antifa people got this. And so he's trying to shine a light on it. And so of course they're coming after that guy. He's been assaulted by him a couple of times. I think he's had a bunch of problems with him.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to make it seem like he's instigating to the point where he's just doing shit to get a reaction. But by putting yourself in a situation like that, you are trying to get views on website. He is trying to bring that attention. So you do need situations like that to come up to. You need cases like the one that he just went through to raise that awareness and things like that. He needs it for his website and all that. So this article I thought was pretty interesting right here. This was, I don't know if you saw this or not, but this retiring Seattle cop, this lady that left, she basically went on a tirade and basically said everybody from the mayor to the city council that says in this one to the lawyer or the district attorneys and all that are all just they're basically ruining the damn city. And I think this is a perfect example of sort of this, the thing going on, you were talking about California a little bit. It's the same thing going on in a lot of these big cities. I think Seattle, New York, Chicago, California, I think they're the biggest offenders of this. I mean, you look at, you look at a lot of these, just sort of turning a blind eye to all this stuff, I guess, I don't know that I think it's great that this lady got on, you know, said what she felt, but I don't know that it really matters. Cause like you were talking about earlier, there's still people that there's people that are going to look at this lady like she is just not compassionate. She's one of those. Well,
the problem I have with her is she waited till she retired to say anything really. Maybe she was saying shit before. Like I'm just going by what I read in the article here. So maybe she was saying shit before, but you see this where people say it after they go out the door, right? Seattle cops need to get together and stand up on this shit. Like this is what's happening. The Portland cops need to do it. Right. But like you get, but they keep trying to toe the line like, oh, well, we'll just do it. Right. And a lot of times it's because they don't want to have the repercussions of the department come down on their head, you know, and cause, you know, and cost them their career, cost them their livelihood, cause problems for them. And so this gets to the FBI stuff. All right. You know, we had a couple of FBI whistleblowers that got shit on. No, if the majority of the FBI thinks this shit is what's going on is bad, they need to get together and fucking say something.
Yeah.
So that's the problem is people aren't standing up and speaking up, right? Like they can get together and make this shit happen. But when you have the onesies and twosies, when they're taking a shot, when they're leaving, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, what did she say that we didn't already either know or suspect? Nothing. Right. This has been going on in Seattle for years. This has been going on. Like everybody's known Seattle's that the government's been doing this shit in Seattle, you know, but Amazon, I'm sure where Amazon's headquarters, they get fucking protected somewhat, right? Like,
yeah,
Seattle government takes care of the people who they want to take care of. Everybody else can fuck off. You know, so it's.
Yeah. It just baffles me that there are things that are allowed these days that just seem like they just it's crossing the line. But these days it's perfectly fine. That whole Chaz Chop thing back when that happened, I was thinking this has got to be settled and settled sternly, you know, quickly. But it didn't. It went on and it went on and they let this crap happen. And it's insane to me.
Well, it's because they're not doing what's right for the people. Again, this is all political expediency. This is the immigration issue that never gets fixed, right? This is the abortion issue that never gets addressed. This is put your fucking name on whatever it is. The federal government doesn't want to address it. The politicians don't want to address it because there's no money in the cure.
Yeah.
Right. They're making money up there by getting their political donors and all the bullshit that's happening up in Seattle. They don't want to fix this shit. It gets them political, it gets them votes. They're not the ones that are getting fucking mugged and sent to jail. I caught something the other day that like in Oakland, California, like they're putting out to people because the crime's so fucking bad there. Hey, everybody should get those little air horns. If someone's fucking mugging you, blow the air horn. You know, like, I don't know. Why don't you let them have a gun? And when somebody's mugging them, blow a hole through the motherfucker instead of an air horn.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's like back when I remember when it was actually before the Night Stalker here, it was the Hillside Strangler was running around. Right. And he was raping women and strangling them. Everybody started going off and it was a big, all of a sudden everybody went out and bought rape whistles. Yeah. Those are great. Maybe it helps, but like, let's get something so people can actually fucking defend themselves with. Can't do that. Can't have that in Seattle. Can't have that in California. Like, you know, no, get a fucking horn.
Yeah,
that's well, their answer to this shit.
I'm sitting here trying to think what Lisa would say to something like this, and I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I assume it would be something like, sure, I'll take the rape whistle. What else? You know, what's coming with it? I'm taking my firearm as well. Yeah. Maybe a taser, maybe some pepper spray.
Escalation of force. We talked about escalation of force, right? That should be it. But you're taking away the ability of people to defend themselves with all their fucking bullshit, you know? It's like, oh, yeah. No, we just got to trust that people aren't going to commit crime. And you got fucking rampant crime going here. I see it. I use that the Citizen Watch app or whatever we talked about on. I can't remember what show it was on. Dude, I look at all day, like it pops up. I get notifications within. And again, I'm living in an area that's been gentrified, right? When I was growing up here, it wasn't so gentrified. Now it's all these dickheads from Hollywood have moved in the area and run the property values up and all that. You got fucking $1 million homes all over this place, $3 million homes. And what do you have? Dude, you got like naked guy with gun running down the street, shooting involved here, all within a mile here. Every fucking day, people are getting jacked, right? So what does that say about the areas that aren't, that don't have a bunch of Hollywood pricks living in it? They're getting fucked. It's wild. Like you see people all over, like cars get constantly getting broken into. It's a mess. I can't park my truck on the street in front of the house because they're going around fucking cutting catalytic converters off. Right. I just saw something the other day. A guy parked at the shopping mall, went in for 15, 20 minutes, came out. His catalytic converter was stolen. Right. Dude rolls up, runs up with a Sawzall, runs over and cuts the catalytic converters out from under him. Right. Tears up the car. You're looking at thousands of dollars in damage. It's a fucking nightmare. Can't hammer. You're muted, I think.
Keep hitting that damn button.
Right. But no, you can't defend yourself. You, oh yeah. Hey, if your catalytic converter gets stalled, well, it's stolen. Well, what is it? You know, it's just your catalytic converter. It only costs you, you know, a fuck ton of money to replace it because they tear it apart when they're getting it. So that's okay. But we can't hammer our poor fucking unhoused neighbor who has a drug problem and mental health issue. We're not going to fucking make him go get mental health treatment. We're not going to get him into rehab. But the answer is just let him steal your fucking catalytic converter and jam it up your ass.
Yeah.
Deal with it. That's California. Yeah. That's all these places.
Have compassion and just deal with it. Yeah.
The compassionate thing would be to deal with them, help them out, get them into treatment, get them off the streets and do the shit that they need to help the fucking problems that they are having.
Yeah. Ooga Booga in the chat said, it just sounds weird to
say. Love that name.
He said, Washington and Oregon ban guns, gun violence, blame the guns, never the criminals. And this goes back to a little bit what you were talking about, where when does it get to the point where you've banned you've villainized all the gun ownership and all that, but on the other side of the aisle, you're letting all this crime happen and you're not holding these people accountable. So it seems like the scales are just way out of whack. When does that all come to a head where people are finally saying, screw this shit, that is a bunch of bullshit. And maybe we are seeing it kind of a little bit right now.
Until the Karens and their bullshit start getting fucked.
Yeah. Right? Until they have to feel the pain.
Problem. I mean, think about it. Right now, fucking Karen could go out and get on Amazon or go somewhere and get the shit that they need. Right. But if you're someone living down in some, you know, some part of San Francisco that's gotten sketchy, Kensington Street in Philadelphia kind of place, you can't even go get shit now. Walgreens are shutting down.
Yeah.
Right. You go to Walgreens, you can't even buy shit because they're shutting down because they've allowed people to steal so much. And I'm sorry, you can't tell me this isn't some sort of false flag social engineering to make this shit happen.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be something.
It has to be.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Right. Let's make this shit happen. And so, you know, where Karen can still go get her shit, all these other people are struggling to get their shit. Right. And as they keep raising the prices on everything, as inflation goes up, that just every time inflation goes up and it costs more, you know, when it moves up to $709 a month, $750 a month, that extra, you know, fucking $31, $41 that just got that moved up on the inflation is going to put somebody on the streets, put somebody in the poorhouse, somebody that now is going to say, hey, let me go fucking rob Walgreens.
Yeah.
Add more and then Walgreens is going to say, hey, we got to keep our profits going up. Let me raise our prices again. So it puts somebody else in that position. We're in a big fucking self-looking circle jerk of a fucking criminal fucking downward spiral fucking ice cream cone that's fucking happening in our society. That's taking us straight down the fucking shitter.
Yeah. I hate all the crime and all that crap, but I'll tell you what, there are very few people that do it because they enjoy it. You know, most people are stealing and robbing and trying to make money and do that things because they need to. Now, granted, I'm not trying to condone it or anything, but there are very few people that do it because they just like to shoplift.
I think you have some people there. That have fucked up heads and that's their thing. But yeah, mostly I think a lot of it is like people that don't know. Think about it. If the fucking apocalypse happens and you're out of food, how are you getting food? Like the average person, you know, like when we talk about it, like they're coming to your door. Like we always talk about that. Hey, when everybody when the food stops, that's when society is going to fucking melt down.
That is when the middle class is done.
Right.
That's when
when the food stops, well, think about that. The food is stopped for some of these people. I mean, dude, I was talking to a buddy the other day and he said, and like, I haven't been to McDonald's in a long time, but he was like hash browns have gone up from like $1.80 to $3 where he's at for a fucking hash brown, a little thing of stomped potatoes that they fucking, you know, spray some chemicals on them and to grill them up to make them crunchy. Right. $3 for a fucking hash brown. Like if you're living on the streets, like dude, like trying to eat is fucking out of price. Go look at what it costs for fast food these days. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are people going to do? They're going to go fucking steal. They're going to rob.
Yeah. And Brandon was just talking about in the chat, how, what these people, want the improvements and things like that. And that's part of the compassion part. And they, you know, they just talk about, hey, higher taxes, but they don't think about where those taxes are coming from. The problem with that, too, is that these same people that say, hey, just, you know, help, we got to help this out. We got to do this for these people. We got to, you know, if we need to raise taxes, then that's what we need to do. What they need to do is make sure or make the government accountable for the shit that they spend.
They just get completely wasted
because the money is there for those projects. But it's not there without raising taxes because there's so much waste and bullshit happening.
Here's the problem, man. If they made the government accountable, then they would have to hold Gavin Newsom accountable. They don't want to do that. He's their fucking poacher boy. They all fucking jerk off to that dude, you know, thinking how fucking great he is. They're all a bunch of fucking fluffers out here. Same in Illinois, same in Seattle, same in Portland. Talk about it. Dude, it's hysterical to look like, because they got, you know, ever since the COVID bullshit, they got got people out that are eating on the sidewalks and stuff now. And hey, man, it's California. The weather's fucking nice. So go eat outside. But you literally have a homeless person sleep like fucking passed out on the sidewalk, like strewn out laying around the corner from them. And they're dropping $100 on a fucking lunch. Right? You go off and get, dude, like fucking restaurants here. You want to have a cocktail? $17 to $20 for a fucking drink. A fucking appetizer is going to fucking hit you for $20-something. So they're going off and, you know, a couple of Karens get together and have a fucking little, you know, little brunch action going on. They're going to drop $100 while some dude can't even get a meal, sitting around the corner, fucking probably taking a dump in a fucking doorway, hasn't slept in 3 days. And they're bitching about how we need to help their unhoused neighbors and how horrible it is to call them homeless. They don't address the fucking problem.
That is, and you know what? That is probably lost on them as they walk out the door, looking at their 100%. Bill, and then they step over the homeless guy.
100%. They're like, I wish somebody would do something about this poor guy. Let me step right the fuck over him. Right? They're so worried about like what's happening with the fucking coyotes out here. Oh, I wish they'd do something about these coyotes fucking eating my cat. But don't hurt the coyotes. Yeah. There was about 50 messages on their little I'm in the local Facebook group just because it amazes me that the stupid shit they worry. The fucking world's, you got fucking home invasions, cars getting broken into, naked dudes with guns, all the shit that we talk about here. And then there'll be like a bird will die in a park. Holy fuck. You just think the world just came unglued. Oh, well, I wonder if it must've died from eating someone's trash. Must've died from some asshole who had rat poison out. Dude, they'll talk about the fucking rats. And then they're like, don't poison the rats, but the rats are a problem. What are we going to do about these rats? Oh, well, it's not the rats' fault. These are the people when you read any of the dystopian fiction novels. You remember, you read fucking Weatherman's first book, right? Like Going Home. Remember when Morgan's walking, he's walking like early on, he's walking and he runs into a couple and they're bitching that he won't give them like more water and all this shit. And he actually gave them a water bottle and, you know, helped him out. And he's like, hey, go fuck. That's who this is.
Yeah.
Oh, well, why aren't you giving me your shit? Like they have no clue what's going on in the world around them.
Yeah.
It's mind numbing. Like their brains are so fucking dead. They got their head so far up their ass with all this shit. You know, they're worried about going off and building little book libraries and little fancy fucking craftsman, little fake houses, doll houses that have little doors so they can put books out up in their neighborhood. Well, in case there's a homeless person walking by and they want a book, they can come and get the book out of here. Oh, well, I'm glad that fucking dude shitting on the sidewalk has something to wipe his ass with now.
Yeah. It is. It's an infection that's just spreading across the country. I think it's an infection that sort of spreads across governments altogether. You know, every government, we've talked about this before, how most governments tend to sort of become more liberal over time, the more they grow until that correction happens or whatever. And then everything gets back down the middle or whatever. But yeah,
they're buying the narrative that, remember, this is a class warfare that we have going on, right? Like, this is about the haves and the have nots. It's not about the right versus left. That's all being weaponized to keep us fighting amongst ourselves. So we don't start looking at the fucking dickheads up above us that are causing it. So yeah. These fucking Karens, they're just a victim of all this shit. I mean, you still got people out here fucking, you know, diehard mask wearers and diehard, hey, I got my 120th fucking vaccine dose.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because they have no idea about anything else. It's like, hey, do you ever wonder why there wasn't a whole bunch of fucking COVID running around Africa? I don't know, maybe because they're all taking ivermectin. Like, they don't want to hear any of that shit. And like, it assaults it. Like, they can't hear it. It assaults everything that is, you know, that they have bought into and believed. They can't let it go. And so
they've been drinking the Kool-Aid for too long, and they can't get off the shit.
they don't know any way else to think. It's part of their psyche. Like we were talking about earlier in the mindset stuff when we started the show, like they can't go in and examine themselves. It's like they live in this fear brain all the fucking time. It's terrible.
Yeah. 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 And it's not a United States problem. It seems like it's fairly global at this point, as far as westernized countries. Your Kanzi's in the chat. He's from Canada. He can probably attest to that. You got Australia. You saw some of the things they did. France, England, all over Europe. All these countries sort of going the same direction.
It's the control. It's the control. It's the propaganda. They're keeping us at odds with ourselves, and they're keeping us polarized. So, because what happens if we're not polarized and everybody goes, wow, we've been getting fucked. We turn into a giant populist movement and they all get fucking tossed or the system gets fucking upended, and they don't want that. They're trying to protect their shit. So let's play on everybody's fears and emotions, man. 100%. Yeah. They're keeping everybody in their fear mindset all the time.
It's working too.
Yeah,
it is. For enough people anyway. I think there are some people waking up, but there are still enough people staunchly on one side or the other. You know, this dude that got raided by the FBI, got blasted by the FBI, staunchly on one side of the aisle, which is, you know, I don't know. I just don't understand.
You can't be on one side of the aisle right now. Criminals. The only reason you're on one side of the aisle is because you're getting fed bullshit.
Yeah. Because
if you don't see that your side of the aisle is playing fuck around games too, you got a problem, right? Like, you know, I mean, dude, it's interesting. Like, you know, the Jimmy Dore, I like to watch Jimmy Dore, right? And Jimmy Dore recently has gotten he's going hard against the environmental movement now. He's all about the environment, just like us. But he's like, you're fucking weaponized. Like, what's the bullshit against all this stuff? It's hilarious. It's I don't know if it's hilarious. It may be tragic watching everybody get red pilled. Again, it goes back to that stat. 49. I bet it's grown since that stat came out a month or two ago, that 49% of voters identify as fucking independents.
Yeah. Yeah. Kanzi said in the chat here, fear is a massive currency for the system. Feed the system. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Fear. It just keep people. You don't have to like me, but you got to hate that guy over there. It's so bad that you're going to vote for me. That's the game these days.
I mean, you think about the Democrats right now. What do they say? Oh, no, the voting system is great. But in 2016, they're like, oh, no, the election was stolen. And then when the other side, no, it wasn't. And then the other side, no, the system's fucking terrible. In the meantime, what's really the fucking problem? Censorship, right? The Hunter Biden laptop story got suppressed before the election. Across the board, an organized effort by the government to suppress that shit.
And the media,
like,
yeah.
Like, so again, this is them fucking playing us. And people can't, and as long as people stay in their emotional mind, that sympathetic nervous system, they're not using their rational brain to see what the fuck is actually happening and saying, hey, I'm not going to fucking participate in this shit. I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden or Gavin Newsom. I'm not going to vote for whoever the fucking Republicans throw at me. I'm going to vote for the person who's right. I'm going to vote people in that say they're going to go for term limits. You hear people bitching about the age, you know, of Congress and shit. put fucking term limits in and it'll fucking stop that. If every 4 to 8 years you're having to vote for a new one, you're going to get people are going to rifle through there. You know, you're going to constantly have people. You're not going to have fucking Mitch McConnell spacing out fucking, you know, Dianne Feinstein being told to vote fucking yay because she can't even fucking hold her shit together long enough to put a fucking yes vote in.
Yeah,
Nancy Pelosi, Feinstein. All this shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All these geriatric diaper wearing fucks that we have in there right now. Yeah. All right. Well, unless you have anything else, I think we're out of here tonight. You got anything, Brian?
No, I think I said enough for one night.
Yeah. Yeah. Great chat tonight, other than the one hiccup, but Brian messaged me and we got that problem solved and it actually worked.
Good job, bud. You didn't lose your shit. You didn't go down the rabbit hole. You're working on your preparedness by not losing your shit. That was awesome.
That's because it worked, but yeah, great chat tonight. A lot of you folks in here, a lot of the usual suspects and a couple new people, so very cool. This I think was the busiest our chat has been over here on Rumble, so very nice. Appreciate you all joining in, everyone listening to the podcast. This will be out tomorrow or the day after we do this live. If you ever get a chance, check us out on Rumble. We are on Rumble on Sunday nights at 7 o'clock Eastern time. For those of you that are here, if you haven't subscribed, make sure and subscribe. And with that, I think we are done tonight. So take care and prepare, everyone. We'll talk to y'all later.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.